All right, back on the record, June 2nd, 2025, 4:30 p.m. in the Silverview Appeals. Mr. Schutz, I believe, was done with questioning of Mr. Scholes, correct? So at this point, we can move on to Ms. Clungeon.
We have Mr. Scholes. Oh, there we go.
Oh,
Good afternoon, Mr. Scholes. Good to see you again.
thank you. Likewise.
Okay, so I want to. I don't have a lot, but let's see. Go through my list. So, when you were discussing the three parameters of wetland hydrology, that was vegetation, hydrology, and soils, correct?
Yes.
Okay. And if you miss one, it's not a wetland. Is that accurate?
That is correct.
Okay. Would you agree that certain of those parameters can be more or less difficult depending on the time of year or kind of weather conditions?
Each of the parameters, you might say, has their plus and minuses on the time of year you examine them. Soils are probably the most stable over the course of a year, whereas plant communities tend to flourish and then die back and then start regrowing. And of course, in our weather in the Pacific Northwest is we have a very rainy season and a very dry season in between. So soils are the most predictable year round, but there are times when you have snow and ice that it's not appropriate to, examine soils.
And what are there better or worse times for hydrology?
The ideal time for wetland hydrology is what we consider the beginning of the growing season, which usually is late February to middle of May in most years. After that, things get drier.
Okay, so late February to middle of May. And just to clarify, your testing, I believe it says May 20th. So
That's
that would
correct.
be late May.
That's correct. The methodology is such that we can evaluate the hydrology pretty much year round. They have a primary indicators when you see the evidence of the water, and then they have secondary indicators, which are more evidence that the water had been there.
Okay. And then I want to turn a little bit to some of the discussion about kind of digging in the same plots, right? Where Dr. Cook, and we'll get to Dr. Cook's testimony, but Mr. Schutz brought up that there was an argument that you weren't digging in the same spot. And I believe you said that you think it's accurate but not exact. Is that a correct characterization?
I think that's a reasonable characterization.
Would you agree that when it comes to wetlands and soils, plots even a couple inches or a foot from each other could have different results for the wetland parameters?
That is something I have experienced before, yes.
And you said that Dr. Cook didn't provide shape files or geo reference. Did you or anybody at the applicant request any of those files or any of that information from Dr. Cook?
Nope, we didn't request it because all we were given was a map showing the plot locations on an aerial.
Okay. All right. And would you agree that say if you don't have an exact location and you're going out in the same area, would you agree that one of the ways to determine the location would be to look for similar vegetation?
That would be one of the ways, but the methodology that I explained in my testimony earlier would be equally, if not more accurate.
And I understand before you said that there can be different plants at different times of the year, right? So in the case of Dr. Cook's plants, do you recall what time of year she noted the plants in her report?
Believe she was out there in September.
And then so I understand you originally were out there in May, and then Radicky, I'm not sure the pronunciation, Radicky went out then in June or July, and then you came back in October, correct?
August for two additional plots and then four plots in October. So August plots and the October would be similar to the conditions that were observed by Dr. Cook in September.
Okay. And I guess that's my question. That was going to be my next question is if, you know, if you went out in October, did you look for similar vegetation at the plots?
Yep. So just for clarification, the plots that were examined in August and in October were not looking at the same locations that Dr. Cook sampled. To clarify, the two plots in August were just adjacent to DP16, and the plots in October were four plots surrounding DP16.
I see.
And that was primarily because Radke had reviewed our data for the other plots that lined up with Dr. Cook's locations and did not have any issues with our conclusions.
Okay, but so you didn't revisit any of the other plots or compare vegetation to your previous reports, correct?
That's correct.
Okay. In cases where you don't have the shapefile or georeference, or there might be some uncertainty about the location, would an additional solution be to maybe take additional plots around that point, that plot?
That's one solution. That's sort of being a little bit sort of random. If we thought we were in the correct location, so to be sampling, you know, 5 or 10 feet this way or that way would be suggesting maybe we coincidentally come across exactly the same spot. We recognized, you know, when we did our data collection that the vegetation that we observed did not line up exactly with what Dr. Cook had come up with. So, you know, we knew that the issue was more likely one of either the time of the year or a mapping situation. If hypothetically the map that she drew was one that didn't have any georeference data on it, then it would have been the accuracy of how well she identified those locations. And until we have georeferenced information, we can't get more precise.
And you discussed Dr. Cook's plots, but are you aware that she took plots other than the SP, I think 1 through 5 that you looked at? Are you aware?
I didn't refresh my entire memory of her data collection that was outside of the stuff that was being discussed on the reconsideration.
Okay.
But I do believe she's done some more sampling in her original visit.
Okay. Regarding the sampling done in the blackberries in the southwest corner, you did say you cut into the blackberries to get to that point. Is that accurate?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But that you couldn't access it from the south because that's private property, right?
That's correct.
Okay. Did you or anyone else make any attempt to request access from the property owner to the south?
No, it's always been my understanding that the property owner to the south is one of the people who has been opposed to the project. And generally speaking, we try not to, you know, increase a level of frustration. So it would be appropriate for us to, you know, find a different way. We got to the area that we believe was requested under the reconsideration. We got relatively close to that south property line. It's specifically an area that, looking from the south, you can see that it's wild rose, blackberries, and some horsetail.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were, reasonably close to that interface.
Okay. So kind of along those lines, it was your understanding that the direction in the remand was for you to sample in the blackberries in the southwest corner of the site. Is that accurate?
Yes.
Okay. So I just want to, and that was, just to clarify, that was data points 11, 12, 13, and 14, right?
Yes.
Okay. And you said that you cut through and you did sample in those blackberries, right?
Yes.
I just want to pull up. This is, I believe, so this is Exhibit F11, which was your June report. Let me share my screen there. Let me know if you can see it.
Not yet. All right.
Okay. Are you able to see it now?
There
Okay.
she is. Okay.
Okay. So here we have, so this data point 12 would have been that BlackBerry area, right? Okay, and but if this is BlackBerry, so if I'm looking in the vegetation, I see that, and I don't necessarily know all the Latin terms, but doesn't the 95% of where you sampled was roses?
That's correct.
Okay, and only a very small percentage of that was blackberries. This is 5%.
Right, that is correct.
Okay. And similar, this is DP13. Again, we've got basically predominantly roses and only a small amount of blackberry, correct?
That's correct.
Okay. And again, this is F11, page 20 through 23. And we've got again data point 14, and even here, even more rose, 97% rose, and then 3%, which rubus are I'm not even gonna, what's the
Okay.
pronunciation of that?
Rosa armeniacus, Rubus armeniacus.
Rubus armeniacus. Okay, all right, so that's the blackberry section, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so wouldn't you agree that's kind of a pretty low percentage for of blackberries for what was instructed to sample in a blackberry patch?
So the other data plot that was the number 11, DP11. That we sampled that day.
Are these in order? Because
Yes, they are. Yeah, just
I've got a map, so this attachment B, which is the data forms, and here I see it starts at DP12. I don't see.
Okay. Well, I'll have to that one was done maybe I'll have to double check something on my computer here. The area that we sampled, if you look at aerial photographs, has over the course of the last, 30 years been mostly blackberries, and in the last 10 years has become dominated more by wild rose. You can see that when you look at aerial imagery, that it's an area that has a certain tonal pattern to it that indicates it's blackberries, and it is. Had an increasing amount of wild rose because it can grow up through the blackberries and sh start shading it out. So it's also an area that's lower than the rest of the site. So, it's logical that if you have were to have a wetland in the southwest corner, it's going to be located in the lowest elevations of the site. And one of the other things, observations we had prior to doing the sampling, just looking at the field areas, that when you stand at the street level, looking at along the south property line where the neighbor's driveway is, there's an excavated ditch there that has, wetter plant community in it. So it suggested that that's, if you dig deep enough, that's where you're going to find water. So it makes logical sense for us to sample in that more of the extreme southwest part of the site. Because we had previously sampled in the area that's immediately north of it, sort of towards just south of the house or southwest of the house. Those areas had been previously sampled and found not to be wetland. And so there was more of a data gap between the south property line and the where they had previously sampled. That was our understanding. The area that was to be investigated was essentially a data gap.
Okay. I guess my next question, when you visited the site, if you had gone even farther south from where you took the data points, was there a higher percentage of blackberries farther to the south, right along the property line between this site and the property to the south?
There, relatively speaking, I think there's only about 5 or 10 feet of land between the property line and where our sample plots were. And so If we got too close to the south property line, there's something called a drawdown effect, where you have an excavated slope on the neighbor's property, and it would actually, artificially lower the property, lower the water table right close to that cut slope. So we didn't want to be in an area that was being influenced by essentially a cut in the landscape that would drain the water. So we tried to be far enough away from the south property line and that cut slope to make sure that we were being accurate.
But that farther to the south had a higher percentage of blackberry, correct?
When we look at the aerial photographs, I think we tend to be a similar amount of the wild rose in that area. The area that's now the most dominated by blackberries are areas that are north of the plots that we have sampling, and basically the old front yard and immediately south of the house. Those are the areas that are now the most dominated by plants, but that was previously never part of the discussions in these hearings, that there was a concern immediately west or south of the house.
Could you explain what you might consider to be, when we're talking about sampling at the same locations as Dr. Cook and matching that up and vegetation, could you explain what a more appropriate method could be to try and match that vegetation?
A more appropriate method. The only if we were trying to match it only. Let me re-ask ask for a clarification here. Are you asking, could we? How would we go about finding the same location based only on vegetation?
Yes.
Is that what you're asking?
Yes.
If that were the criteria, then what we would do is go to the mapped location and then spread out from there to see what seemed to have the most similarity. And then we'd have to identify how many feet away from the mapped location was to say that's where our plot was. That would be the only way to approach that differently.
Okay, and but that's not what you did in this case, correct?
In this case, we thought our instructions were go to the mapped locations, not go to the area that having similar vegetation.
And just speaking of vegetation, have you done a comparison of, your data plots and Radke's and Cook's to see whether they're consistent, with whether they have consistent vegetation?
I think that Dr. Cook's memo compared our data and her data, but I didn't include any, or I don't think there's a comparison that includes Radke. Am I
Okay.
right? So if I'm right on that, then we didn't ourselves amend Dr. Cook's table to include Radke in there.
Okay. I think those are all of my questions. Thank you, Mr. Scholes.
Okay, thanks.
Thanks, Ms. Clunchen. All right, moving on to Mr. Wachter.
Hey, good afternoon again. Neil Wachter here on behalf of Kitsap County. I've been trying to turn on my video and I get the message that the host has disabled it. Oh, start my video. There we are. She's on it.
There you are.
Thank you. Hello, Mr. Skoll. I'm Neil Wachter on behalf of Kitsap County. I just have a couple follow-up questions for you.
Yes.
Isn't it true that the remand asked for hydric soil data, not data on hydrology or vegetation?
I would have to look specifically. I'll take your word on it. It's not a standard approach for us to collect hydric soil data without providing the context of the hydrology or the vegetation. I mean, it's generally inappropriate to submit an incomplete data sheet. So providing that other information gives context to the soils information.
Okay. In reviewing the remand, I see that calls for peer review to be conducted by a qualified consultant hired by and under contract by the county, and the consultant shall prepare a report detailing their findings. Do you have any concerns with Radke's reporting of their findings with respect to this peer review work?
I think they concurred with most of our findings. The fact they didn't concur with one of our plots, I would say, is normal, that you don't always see exactly the same thing in the field between two different consultants. And so that all seemed pretty normal and acceptable.
And approximately how much time passed between Dr. Cook's evaluation, in which she located predominantly blackberries, and your visits to the site when you located predominantly rose plants?
I'm going to have to look that up, because I don't know the date of her work. I believe it was September, I believe it was 2021, but it could have been 2020. So if there's anybody else that actually has that information, I will yield to their recalling those kind of facts.
I thought I heard that it was in 21. So I guess assume for the moment that that's right. Can you make any sort of statement about the transition of the area from being predominantly blackberries to predominantly wild roses?
It's simply that when we look at the historical aerials for that particular, via Google Earth, we can see that, one of the first plants that started to sort of colonize it as the farm started to not, do as much grazing or whatever other activities they had on site, blackberries sort of show up on the perimeters and so on. But, we can look at those Google aerials and see that the presence of blackberries, it was slowly being overtaken in a very fairly narrow strip parallel to the south property line by another plant. And when we did our field investigation, we could see that that other plant, meaning have a different sort of color and tonal pattern, has just sort of progressively been getting bigger or more robust over the past 25 years. I think part of the confusion is that everyone has just generally referred to the southwest corner of the site as just being blackberries, and when we look at it more closely, we realize there's actually other plants growing there and that have more dominance than the blackberries.
I have a general question regarding herbaceous plant communities. Are there seasonal differences in the appearances of vegetation?
Some plants, there's big differences. For example, there's certain sedges and rushes that are, they grow and fruit in the springtime, and they die back quite a bit by the time summer, ends, comes to end. And there's other plants that are more perennial plants that have more stiff structures to their stems and leaves, and they're identifiable either all year round, or their relative dominance doesn't seem to change that much.
So would that affect the ability to relocate the same spot that was located in during September observations when one goes out into the field in May?
So you're referring to, is this a general question, or are you talking about specifically Dr. Cook's plots around Wetland
Well, I'm starting at the general,
A? Okay.
in the sense of differences that may be visible or observed between a September visit versus a May visit.
So we would expect to see some similarities, but we'd also see that certain plants were just not present in May show up in September and vice versa. Some plants can be have a complete, absence presence different times of the year, depending on what kinds they are.
And would you agree that that poses a challenge to relocating the same spot that had been observed in September of one year, coming back in May of 2 to 3 years later?
So we were asked to go back to the same locations that had been mapped by Dr. Cook. So we took her map, as mentioned in earlier testimony, and adapted it to fit on a georeferenced aerial from the same year. And we went to those locations, and we described what was at those locations. We weren't being asked to go to areas that had similar plant communities. And so if the mapping that Dr. Cook had was, let's just say it was 10 feet off of the actual spot, that could be enough of an explanation of why we didn't see the same plant community. But we might very much see, similar soils or different soils. 10 feet is, can be, a different condition.
Mr. Scholes, you described in earlier testimony sort of the challenges in trying to reconstruct or recreate where Dr. Cook had done sampling out in the subject property. Are you familiar with let me start over. In your profession, is there a standard of care for identifying the precise location of soil testing that is conducted?
So we're required when we turn in a wetland report to the Corps of Engineers or other regulatory agencies to do what is considered sub-meter mapping using GPS. And so, if you have, hypothetically speaking, a kind of GPS that you buy for hiking, that's got a much greater, like 10 to 20 foot plus or minus. But you buy a GPS receiver for $2,500 to $4,000, and you can get the sub-meter accuracy. That's what we're, required to do. The alternative is to put stakes in the ground and have a surveyor come in and tie those in.
We're just at about 5 o'clock. Should we continue this till tomorrow morning? I don't know. Sometimes people have a pretty hard, need to close at 5. Kind of get the feeling people want to close at 5. Yeah. So is that going to work with you, Mr. Schultz, having Mr. Scholes here tomorrow morning?
I believe Mr. Scholes may have a conflict first thing in the morning. Is that correct?
If my conflict begins at roughly 10:15, but if I'm able to testify from 9 till 10:15.
Okay. Yeah, I would anticipate we can get done by that time. So, all right then. I think that's just about perfect time. So we'll just see you tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock. Oh, Miss Clergen?
I just had a question regarding whether Mr. Schutz put his order of witnesses or what other witnesses remain, just so that I
Oh,
can
sure. Yeah.
plan.
So I believe this will be our last witness on direct.
Oh, okay.
Okay, perfect.
Great.
All right. We'll see
Great.
you tomorrow then. All right.
Okay.
Have a good night.
Good night, all.